Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how we started buying land in the 90s. I was forced to tell my own story a couple of days ago, and Jill liked it so much she's going to make me do it on the air again.
Love it.
Before we get into it, first, let's take a question posted by one of our members on landacademy.com, the online community there. It's free.
Cool. Ted asked, I have a parcel in Minnesota that I've currently got sold on a contract for deed. The buyer has been looking into getting some permits, and the county has alerted him that there's a fee owner on the title from way back in 1972. Apparently, when they parceled out a larger piece of property, it wasn't done correctly. So this guy is on the titles of this parcel and all the neighboring parcels. And he passed away in 1995. It was an issue three owners before me. It wasn't an issue, I guess, three owners before me until now. Is this something that probate would clear up or a quick title action? What should I do?
Excellent, Ted. This is a great question. It's probably even a PhD level question, at least master's degree for sure. And I think that you and I'm really glad we're doing this on the air. We alluded to answering this question on our weekly call on Thursday for our members. But the thick of it is this. It sounds to me like you need to do a quiet title action. And I know in Minnesota, I did a bunch of research for you and found out that it's called adverse possession. In Minnesota, they don't actually call it quiet title. But the first thing I would do is, and like I suggested to you pretty much in private, I would contact an attorney and just have a consultation. There's several law firms that pop right up in Google that rectify situations like this. So on the thick of it, or on the front end of this, it sounds really scary, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose all the money. I've sold a property. I did something wrong. I really don't think it's that complicated. I really would just consult with an attorney. And if you do end up having to do what's an effective quiet title action or adverse possession action, all it really is just following the statute. So you have to literally put notice in the newspapers for a certain amount of time and then file a bunch of court documents. The whole thing's probably take 3 to 6 months if nobody responds to the posting in the newspaper, because I'm not sure people read newspapers anymore.
Isn't
that
funny? It's funny that it's still a formality, you know, but you still have to do it, but okay.
And in the end, you're done. Yeah. And then at that point, by the way, you have what I think, this is my opinion. Now you have an insurable piece of property, what some people call marketable title. So is it a little bit of a wrench? Yeah, but you can get it's there. You know what's going to end up happening too is you're going to find out how easy this is, and now you're going to seek property out, because there's a ton of property that's just sitting around because this makes everybody really afraid. Mm-hmm. So this will open up Minnesota acquisitions for you too.
That's very true. Once you figure these things out, I agree. It's funny, some of these terms, it's easy to go, oh no, it sounds so big and scary. No, it's not. I mean, there's ways around it. You know, I mean, is anybody trying to pull a fast one or do anything? No, and the guy's not here anymore. It's just a formality.
It's a formality. Exactly. Well said.
And we get hung up on these sometimes. And you can work through it. And you know what? You just have to call. You have to sometimes, like I've been in these funky situations, and I just have to call and call and call until I find the right guy. And you might have to call a couple of different attorneys, by the way, until mm-hmm. you find one, because I've had to do that, until you found one that said, oh, I just did one of these. I can help you. Great. Done.
Isn't that true with anything? Mm-hmm. Whenever you hire an IT guy or anything, the best thing they can ever say is, oh, yeah, I did that for another client. Mm-hmm. I know exactly how to do that. I learned on his dime, not on yours.
Yep. Well, my other thing is, don't give up, too. This is, I think, people, well, I talked to an attorney. He said it's not going to happen, so I'm just going to have to let it go.
Yeah.
Don't take one opinion. If you know that this is right and you can get it fixed, it's solvable, which it is. You're just going to have to keep at it until you find the right person, and they will understand.
If you ask your mom for permission for something and she says no, you go to ask your dad, right?
Right.
That's just like the attorneys. If you don't like the answer the attorney's giving you, get another one.
This is actually true. That's so funny. Our attorney friends would probably shrug their shoulders and go, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Some people trade out spouses because of that, too.
Oh, that's a whole nother show.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. Today's topic, this is the meat of the show, by the way. How we started buying land in the 90s. Hey, if you haven't picked it up yet, go over to landacademy.com and grab the ebook. Because I do talk a little bit about my background personally and how I got into this cockamamie crazy thing.
Cockamamie.
And it's all because I was a commercial real estate acquisitions person for KPMG. And before that, I was a commercial real estate broker in Michigan. And I specialized in very, very complicated, very large healthcare transactions, hospitals, assisted living facilities, long-term care, post-acute hospitals and nursing homes and the whole thing. So, you know, I went from doing the most complicated transaction to doing what we do now. And obviously this eventually stuck better than the other one, the most simple transaction. So in a long-term care, let's just say a nursing home deal, man, you got to get approval from everybody. The whole thing takes a year. So the financial performance is variable. There's just a ton of stuff to do. You have to get federal and state approval. There's a lot of things that can kill the deal. So, but what I took away from that, and this is actually ultimately how we got started in land, is I learned how to buy property by reaching out to people through a fax. Back then it was through the fax. Now we do it through mail and some other sophisticated ways with texting and things like that. But the bones of what I learned there for buying very large commercial real estate deals and selling them is really the bones of what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's way more perfected now because we've had so many years to perfect it, but that's my background. And Jill, for whatever reason, thinks that lends a lot of credibility to what we're doing. I don't know. Plus, I don't like talking about myself.
You know what's funny, though? Maybe that it also partially explains why we love what we do now, you know, and that's one of the things that go back to is like, you could have that world or you can have a buyer and a seller and nobody else involved.
And you.
And how nice, you're the buyer or you're the seller. Pick one. You know, it's the greatest thing on the planet. It doesn't have to be that difficult. That's the thing. And the number of transactions that you can do when there's just a buyer and a seller, you know, it's so much easier.
Everything in life is more difficult when there's lots of people involved.
Yeah.
If there's only one or two people involved and they're basically on the same page, stuff's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is no exception. Real estate deals, the way that they get done now, it's just, they're not the way that they used to get done in the 50s, 60s, 70s in this country. There's so many people that are trying to get a piece of the pie. Lenders are trying to take a piece, you know, there's just everybody involved, with the exception of the title company, who actually think they earn their money.
Mm-hmm.
I had questioned some of the fees and their involvement and whether they really want to get the deals done. So I came from that, and it really, really pushed me to find a better way.
Right.
And that's what this is.
Exactly.
A much better way.
Much better way.
A lot of people come to us from the flipping houses environment, and they see how we're doing this, and the light bulb goes off over their head. It's so easy.
Isn't that funny? That's one of the things I get all the time with that group in particular, is they're staying there scratching their heads going, I'm missing something, right? This is a little too good to be true, you know? Yeah. And I really have to stand there and say, no, you're right.
Right.
You're okay. You're right. It doesn't have to be that hard. They almost think that, well, if I'm earning this, if I'm doing it, making this much money off one deal, I should be, you know, really having to go jump through a bunch of hoops and earning my keep or whatever, you know, earning it. No, you really don't. You know, seriously, you found a good deal. You bought it right. You sold it right. Move on. It is supposed to go this way.
Yeah. I mean, if you send a bunch of mail out, right, you send offers out and you send it at a price that you've developed in the offers that you're sending, so that if they do sign it or they call you back and say, yeah, I want to do it, you know, now you're running to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You don't send it out offers with a relatively good price. you send out offers with a price that will not rock your socks.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and then it just sells itself.
And you're hitting them at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, man, shucks. I hate to let it go for this, but boy, I sure need that money.
Or I'm just tired of paying the taxes on it.
Yep.
Yeah, it probably is worth more, but this is easier with you. Thanks.
Exactly.
Thanks for sending me an offer.
Exactly. That's how it goes.
So what I did back then, this is the second part of it, you know, and the spirit of that, the spirit of waking up in the morning and trying to find a better way, trying to improve on what you're doing. That's kind of our corporate culture here at Landstay and Land Academy, and I never lost that. So Jill and I go at everything like that. How can we make this easier? How can we sell these properties faster? How can we buy them to this day?
It's true.
We just had breakfast and we're talking
about
how can we make this
easier.
How can I
hands-off raise three children?
No one knows the answer to that.
It's like, you know.
Hands off. How can I outsource child rearing?
Exactly. Do I really have to show up? I mean, if it's recorded, isn't it just as good as mommy being there?
That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great if all the screens in the house turned to like you telling kids to clean up their rooms and
Wouldn't
stuff?
That be great? Like the fridge opens and I go, make sure you're making a good choice. Eat the yogurt. You know, there's apples over there.
Where is mom anyway? I haven't seen her in person in 3 weeks.
Exactly. But I hear from her every day.
Why does she always have a good tan?
Exactly. I finally figured out that's a green screen. Mom's really not in a red room.
That's not real mom. That's mechanical mom.
Exactly. Mom is not at the office.
Mom's in Tahiti. She's been there for 2 months.
There we go. It's good.
Join us in another episode. Did I answer everything?
I think you did.
Let me say one more thing quick. Back then, this is now like, you know, this all thing really started in the mid-90s. I didn't do my first land flip until 1999. But what ended up happening is that I wrote an interface program between a CRM and a fax modem, if you're old enough to know what that is. So this is before the internet really seriously kicked in the way that it is now. And I everybody overnight, in a very methodical way, who owned a real who owned let's say an assisted living facility that's larger than 30 beds, would receive a note or a single page fax that says, look, we've identified your property as an acquisition candidate. We're extremely interested. The ballpark number that we probably could pay, yeah, but we subject to reviewing everything, is X. And man, what a response did I get.
Right.
You know, that was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, I started doing it with companies. You know, we want to buy your company. We want to buy your apartment building. And I knew I was onto something.
Right.
So now we do it with land because mm-hmm. we can just sell it so fast. And Jill and I also do it with wholesaling houses where we never go look at the asset. That's the key. You know, there's so many, we are taught so many things that are, I believe, incorrect, and they become habitual about real estate. So we have a rule, and I'm not saying you should do this if you're brand new, but if we have to go look at the asset in any way, Jill and I generally don't do the deal.
Right.
It's too time consuming.
Yep.
If we're looking at a deal that, if we even have to look at the deal at all, you know, more than 15 minutes, let's say on Google Earth, just to check access and some other things,
mm-hmm.
we usually don't do it.
Exactly.
So make this easy on yourself.
Right.
We're all taught for some reason you got to go look at the property, you have to go sit on it, you got to breathe it in, you know.
Get to know the seller.
It's just really overthinking it.
You don't need to
do it. Yeah, get to know the seller.
All right. You don't need to do that one.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But people do that.
I know.
They think that, oh, they're going to be confident in me when I sell, because I established this relationship. You don't need to do that. Your relationship is the transaction.
You want to mechanize the inbound, the acquisition, and mechanize the sales process to the point where you have people that are, you know, working for you full time, or they're virtual assistants, and they're handling most of that bulk work,
mm-hmm.
or software's handling it. That's how we do it.
Exactly.
So it's very, very feasible and possible, and we do it all the time to make a good living at this. Without, that's how we can have time to do a silly podcast.
Silly. You're so funny.
I think I made my point, right?
I think you did. Thank you.
Yeah, I did a bunch of complicated real estate deals as a commercial guy and found out that it's a lot easier this way.
Exactly.
And more, way more profitable. Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate acquisitions. It's like, I avoid talking about myself.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know.
It's good. It's a good story. It does lead a lot of credibility, and it tells
everybody.
I don't
want it to sound like I'm bragging, that's why.
Oh, no, I don't think it does. Right. No, it's good. You know what I think is good? Because people can hear that, wow, you went from that to this. This must be good if you stopped doing that.
Yeah.
You know, there's something there.
Oh my gosh, this is so much better.
Right? But when you think about what you were doing and the size of the deals and all that good stuff, that's nothing to sneeze at. However, doing what we do now in bulk, you know, it's a whole different world.
I mean, it's so much more profitable and you just have so much more control. When you're paying cash for an asset like we do, and there's just no approval process, there's no lender. Mm-hmm. Probably should have brought that up in the middle of the show. When there's a lender involved in anything, mm-hmm. it takes four times as long.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at it. I mean, you've got to fill out forms. Man, it's just what we do is amazing, actually.
You got to send out the estimator or whatever and all that good stuff. Yeah. And it's just insane. Yep.
So, yes, we come from credible source. And yes, this is way more fun too, I think. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.